anyways, we are going to, jump into the Word of God. And so let's pray, and then we are going to dive right in. Father, we come before you today in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you so much for this opportunity I have and the honor I have just to stand in this pulpit and to share your Word. Lord, I thank you today for what you want to speak to us. And Father, I pray for every person that is here, God, that they won't hear what I say as much as they hear what you say to them through what I'm saying. Lord, we thank you just for just what you want to say and what you want to do in us today. We love you so much, Lord, in Jesus' name. And everyone agreed with me said, amen. All right, well, as you know, or maybe not all of you know, most of you should be aware, we've mentioned several times, today is an important Sunday, and first and foremost, that it is our First Fruits Sunday. And so this is a Sunday every year at this time that we do a special offering. We've come out of January. It's been a time of prayer and fasting and seeking God. And we've been consecrating ourselves to Him in different ways. And one of the last things we do is we seek the Lord and we bring this offering to Him. And so we're going to do that at the end of the message. But I want to just share some things to encourage our heart. It's actually not exactly about giving, but it is about pressing into God's stuff. Because the second thing that I mentioned to you last week was that we wanted to start taking a Sunday a month, and we wanted to really lean in and focus going after the power of God being demonstrated, especially in the way of healing. And so really sensed and felt from the Lord just to take this one Sunday a month and to really focus on healing, to focus on the ministry of healing, and as a church, just to continue to press in and saying to God, we're believing for this to be a house of healing. And so this is the first Sunday that we want to do that, and I want to lay a bit of a foundation with you. Now, the notes that I'm teaching from, you can find them at my blog at brendanwitten.com. You can also get them on the church app. And if you'd like to have them emailed to you or emailed on a regular basis every week because the notes are still being prepared, we always put them up online, just make sure you contact the office and we'll be glad to send them to you. But the title for my message today is entitled, Why Healing? Everyone say, Why Healing? And so I wanted to start really simply, and if we're talking about as a church and say, okay, in 2020 and in the coming decade, one of the things we want to really go after is healing, I thought it'd be really wise and really important for us to start on this topic of why healing. There's many topics we could focus on. There's many very important biblical doctrines, different theologies, different practical realities that we could say we're going to lean into. Why healing? Why are we sensing God's calling us to this? Why does this matter? Why is this important? And so I just wanted to do some real simple teaching today to talk about this. Now, one thing I want to let you know, if you guys have the resources ready, I'll just start with that. We're going to, over this journey that we're going, because we're going to do this once a month, but I wanted to mention to you several different resources that if you want to kind of go deeper with this, if you're saying, okay, Pastor, I'm with you, I want to study, these are several resources that we're going to use as foundational teaching. I'll be drawing much of the teaching we do over this coming year and beyond as God leads us from these books. And so the first one is Christ the Healer by F.F. Bosworth. Now, this is a classic. I think it was written in the 1920s or 1930s. But when it comes to the ministry of healing, it is a foundational text that's impacted so many people's lives. Secondly is The Essential Guide to Healing by Bill Johnson and Randy Clark. So this is the second resource that I would encourage you in. And the last one is The Bible Healing Course by Kenneth Hagin. Now you can get all of these on Amazon. They're very easy to access. You can get Kindle. You can get paper version of them. But I just wanted to mention this to you because part of what I want to stir in our hearts is a corporate focus on this to say, God, we want to go deeper in this together. We are not trying to build an environment that is like the Pastor Brendan and Pastor Sharon show, where it's like, okay, well, Pastor Brendan and Pastor Sharon are going to pray for people and see people get healed and so on. No, we want to see what the Bible teaches is that all of us are involved in this. Amen? Because one of the biggest impacts is we want to see healings inside these four walls, but I'll tell you where it really is going to begin to make an impact. It really will begin to make an impact where it goes outside of the four walls and it goes out into workplaces, into schools, into neighborhoods, but this is where God was taking us. Now, let's start with Revelation 3, verse 8. Revelation 3, verse 8 says, I know your works. Behold, I've set before you an open door. Everyone say an open door, which no one is able to shut. I know that you have but little power, and yet you've kept my word and have not denied my name. Now, so far this year in 2020, there's been several key themes that have been coming through already. The first one has been that of spiritual ambition. You'll remember if you're here throughout January, we talked about the importance of walking in spiritual ambition. We don't want to walk in selfish ambition, which is about achieving great things for ourselves. But we also don't want to go to the other end of the spectrum and be believers who are passive and who live in passivity. But we want to be believers who have a spiritual ambition or a holy ambition of the things that God has called us to. A holy ambition is to have a passion and a focus, a heart for the purposes of God in our generation. Another key theme that we've been focused on so far has been that of open doors. If you remember, several weeks ago, we had Prophet Ewell Crawford with us. And on the Friday night, he brought the word of the Lord regarding this being an open door. And so last week, I shared with you that one of the open doors that I felt like God was calling us to walk through, to step through, to move through together was going to be that of the ministry of healing. And that there is a call on Toronto City Church to be a house of healing. Someone tell your neighbor, we're called to be a house of healing. We are called to be a house of healing. And family, I want to encourage you that one of the distinctives that I believe God has for us in the coming year and one of the distinctives of the coming decade is that I believe that God wants to do something powerful where we literally see thousands of healings and miracles. Now, I know for some of you already, that gets a little scary. We start talking about thousands of healing miracles. But guys, that's holy ambition. Holy ambition is saying we want to believe big for what God wants to do. We want to believe big for where God wants to take us. And we want to believe big for thousands of healings and miracles. Even if we hit hundreds, I'd rather shoot for thousands and go for it, believe God. But this is what I believe God wants to do. The word about being a place of healing, the word about signs, wonders, and miracles has been spoken over our church over and over and over again. There was that word years ago that talked about multitudes, miracles, and millions, and that God wanted to bring these things into the house. We've had many words about being a house of healing. As recent Prophet Ewell Crawford, you remember some of you several years back, Cale Mumby was here. And he was prophetically speaking about God wanted to do a work of healing here where people literally would come here before they go to the hospital. Now, we have nothing against hospitals, but people know this is a place where I can receive prayer and God can move in my life. We are called to be a house of healing. Someone say we're called to be a house of healing. Furthermore, beyond just our church family, guys, there's a coming move of God that's coming to our city and that is coming to our nation. I believe that it is going to be unprecedented. I believe that God is getting ready to do something powerful in our nation and in our city. And I believe a big part of that is going to be miracles and healings and signs and wonders, things that demonstrate and show that God is real and that God loves you and that God wants to be a part of our lives. And so there's this move that's coming, and I want us to be right in the middle of it, amen? It's not just about Toronto City Church. It's not just being exclusive, just us, but we can only control and focus on what God's going to do in us and through us. But we're going to believe for ourselves. We're going to believe for the body of Christ, but we're believing God for a demonstration of the supernatural power of God. The world around us is getting darker right now, guys, but we don't need to be afraid of that because the darker it gets, the easier it is to see the light when the light starts to shine. And one of the things that is going to be a blazing, burning, shining light of the life and power of God is going to be churches and believers that are seeing healings, that are seeing miracles, because they're going to show people that God is real. Amen? But here's the encouragement that I want to bring to us. Some of us would fall into the trap and say, okay, well, we've got these words. There's these things that God is going to do, so I guess it's just going to happen, right? And what I want to encourage us this morning, or this afternoon, excuse me, is that it's not just going to happen. We're not just going to waltz right into it. The word is there. The promises of God are there. But we have to make a decision to say yes. And we have to make a decision in unity to say we are going to go after this together. We are going to press into this together. Let me show this to you from the scriptures. If you look at Hebrews 6 verse 12. And Hebrews 6 verse 12 says this. So that you may not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. That's so good. Let me read it again. So that you may not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. The first thing I want you to see from the verse this afternoon is that healing is a promise.
We're going to look in the scriptures in a few moments and see that healing is a promise in the scriptures. But even as I share with you the words over our church family, healing is a promise from God. It is a promise from Him. It's a promise that He's made to us. It's a promise that He's made to our church that we are going to be a house of healing. But even what we see from this verse, it's a promise to be inherited. But how many know we have our part if we are going to inherit what happens? You know, I was thinking about this. This is a story I've shared with you before. I don't know if it's real or if it's anecdotal, but there was a man who lived in a community. There was a homeless man, and he was very kind, very nice. The community really got used to him being there. There was a lot of people in the community who would help him out. Some people tried to help him maybe get off the streets. It never seemed to quite work well for him, but he was a really beloved member of the community. And so there was a season of time where people just stopped seeing him. They didn't see him at his usual spots. They didn't see him where he usually would be. And after a couple days, people started to get a little concerned. And they started to say to each other, hey, have you seen, you know, so-and-so? No, I haven't seen him. Have you seen him? And so one person said, well, I think I know where he kind of camps out. Maybe we should go check on him. So a few of them went to check on him, and they went and found his spot, and he kind of had his setup and a tent and some different things. And sadly, they found that he had passed away. And so it looked like he just passed away in his sleep, and he was there. And so this really, because he was really connected in the community, it really touched a lot of people's hearts. And so the community came together, and they did a funeral service for him, and a number of people came out, and they went through his belongings. And some of them thought, you know, we really should try and find out if he has family members, because no one really knew if he had family members or what happened. And so there's a group of them that went through his belongings, and again, very respectfully and very carefully, but they just wanted to make sure. And in the belongings, one of the things they found was a letter, a sealed letter in an envelope from a lawyer. And so they thought, okay, this is kind of interesting. They opened up the envelope and opened up the letter, and the letter said, dear so-and-so, you know, we regret to inform you that your great aunt has passed away, and so on, but she, in passing away, has left an inheritance to you. And they said the amount of the inheritance, and it was literally like just tons and tons of money. And said, so this belongs to you. We just need you to please come by the offices, sign some paperwork, and come by, and then we would be more than glad to release the inheritance to you. Well, the people sat there just in shock when they saw this letter, in shock when they saw what happened. Why? Because this man was literally a multimillionaire. He literally was a multimillionaire who literally had all this money at his disposal, but even though he was a multimillionaire, even though he had all this money to inherit, he was still living as a homeless person because for whatever reason, even though the money had been given to him, the money was there for him, he never took the steps he needed to take to inherit what had been given. Does that make sense to everybody? See, healing is a promise that is given to us, but here's what the scriptures say. What does it say? First and foremost, it says we're going to inherit this promise through faith. Everyone say through faith. In other words, it's not just going to happen. It's not just going to drop in our laps because God said it. We need to inherit it. We need to take what is given to us and start learning how to access it. But the first thing is going to be through faith. Now, again, I could do not just a message on faith. I could do a series on faith. And I suspect at some point in this journey, we're definitely going to be talking about faith. But let me just say this really simply today. Faith is choosing to believe God. Healing is there. Healing is part of the promise, but God is looking for men and women who are going to say, we believe you. God is looking for a church family and a church community that say, we are going to believe you. Faith is a conscious decision to believe God. And so the promises of God are inherited by those who learn to walk by faith and who choose to believe. Yes, there's challenges, there can be doubts that come, different things, but we push through those things and we believe Him. Furthermore, I'm becoming more and more convinced that one of the things that God is doing and wants to do is we've seen many examples of individuals who've believed God for things and seen powerful things happen. I was just thinking recently, or just several months ago, Reinhard Bonnke passed away. And he was an incredible healing evangelist who literally saw millions of people come into the kingdom. An example of a man, but I believe what God is doing in these days, not that there won't be individuals, but something will happen when there's families, when there's church communities that say, we're going to believe together. It's not just going to be the pastor or a few individuals, but a whole bunch of us, an advanced moving party, a critical mass of people say, we believe together for this promise of being a house of healing. Somebody say, I believe. And so we see we believe. But one more thing I want you to see from this verse, because it doesn't say it's only faith that by which we inherit the promises. What else say? Through faith and patience. Everyone say patience. What is patience? Once again, I could preach a series on patience. Patience in the Bible is not passively sitting back hoping something happens. Patience is a fierce determination where you say, I'm taking my stand right here and I am not moving and I'm not giving up until I see what is manifested. Guys, God is looking for people who have a spirit of faith for healing in the supernatural, but he is also looking for people who will be people of patience. That means we are going to keep believing until we see it happen. One of the things that I've noticed in my life, I've noticed in church communities, that it's not the toughest thing to get us in a spirit of faith for healing. Usually the challenge comes when it comes to patience, when it doesn't happen right away. It doesn't happen the way we saw. We didn't happen, but God is looking for people who are going to marry their faith with patience, and in doing that, we are going to inherit the promises. And so I want to encourage you. I wanted to share this right from the beginning because we are going after this thing in Jesus' name. We are going to inherit this promise of being a house of healing. We are going to inherit the promise of seeing signs, wonders, miracles, and healings. We are going to inherit the promise of seeing people come here for prayer and then go to the hospital because they're believing God that this is a place. We are going to do it, but it's going to come as we are people who say we believe God and we are not going to stop and we are not going to quit until we see it come through. Even if there's some things we do not see even in our day and in our generation, we are setting a heritage of faith. We're believing God, and we are going to see the next generation even walk in it. We are going to be people who, through faith and patience, inherit the promises. And everyone agreed with me said, amen. So we are going to be those people. So this brings me to the question, why healing? Everyone say, why healing? So why healing? Of all the things we could teach or talk about, of all the things we could put a monthly focus on, why are we feeling stirred for healing? Why does this matter in this season? So I just want to take you through five simple truths or five simple reasons of why healing. First and foremost, why healing? Because it's biblical. Everyone say it's biblical. In Matthew 10, 7 to 8, we've got a lot of scriptures to work through today. We really believe in going to the Word. Matthew 10, 7 to 8, it says, as you go, proclaim this message. This is Jesus talking to his disciples. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy. Drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Now I want you to see, because Jesus is releasing his disciples. He's releasing them to go, and yes, he's releasing them to preach and to proclaim the message of the kingdom of God. But we see on exactly the same plain level of going and preaching, we see that he tells them, heal the sick. We see that he tells them, raise the dead. I don't know you, that one freaks me out a little bit right there. Number three, he tells them to cleanse those with leprosies, to drive out demons. Healing was not a secondary issue for Jesus. It was not meant to be a sidebar item that happened once or twice a year. No, it was right alongside with going out and declaring the message of the kingdom. And he said, when you declare the message of the kingdom, and there's a correlation here, that the part of the message of the kingdom is healing the sick, raising the dead, cleansing the lepers, and driving out demons. Freely you've received, now freely give. There's an interesting whole message in that last line there, because many times the reason we're not walking in more of the power of God or more of the healing power of God is because we're not receiving very much from God. See, what we give is going to be directly related to what we have received. And so as much we've received through Christ, but still it's learning how to receive it and to walk it out. And so we say, Jesus said, now someone might be listening though to me and say, okay, yeah, but that's good, Pastor. But that was Jesus' apostles. That was Jesus' disciples. I don't know, does that really apply to the rest of us? Well, I'm glad you asked the question. Let's go to Mark chapter 16, 17 to 18, because this is now the Great Commission. This is now what we believe and know as in the scriptures of Jesus' commission or his mission for his entire church. Someone tell your neighbor, say, he's talking about me. Come on, he's talking about you. He's talking about me. It says, and these signs will accompany those who believe. All right, now notice it. It didn't say these signs will accompany only the apostles. It didn't say these signs will accompany pastors. It didn't say these signs will accompany the really spiritual people. No, what does it say? Those who, oh, come on, some of you are not with me yet. Those who do what? Those who believe. This is who he's talking to. So this is wide open. This is wide open for anyone who says, I will believe. How many believers do we have here? Amen. So say, believers, well, will we believe? In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. That's why we believe in the infilling of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of tongues. They will pick up serpents with their hands. There's obviously a spiritual connotation to this because I'm not running around trying to pick up snakes. If they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. And watch this. And they lay their hands on the sick and they will recover. In other words, this was not just a command from Jesus for himself or just for his apostles, but it is part of the Great Commission, guys. It is part of the mission that he's given to the entire church. Yes, preaching the gospel. I'm not taking away from that one bit. We're going to dig into that a little bit more. But it's understanding that healing is meant to be an everyday part of following Jesus. Healing is meant to be an everyday part of sharing the gospel, demonstrating who Jesus is. We believe in healing and we need healing because it is biblical. Everyone say, why healing? So number one, because it's biblical. Number two, why healing? Because it's part of the nature of God. It is part of the very nature of who he is. Exodus 15, 26, verse B says this. For I am the Lord, your healer. This is what God said about himself. It's an interesting study. If you go through Genesis and Exodus, and a little further in the scriptures, one of the studies that you can do is in the names of God. Because God reveals himself. And he reveals himself through a number of different names, and each one of those names reveals a facet of his character. So, for example, he revealed himself as Jehovah Jireh, which is Hebrew, but it really talks about the God who provides. So again, because when Abraham started, early in the scriptures, if you know, we kind of have the advantage of knowing the entire Bible, but if you're on this journey and God's revealed himself, one of the first things he's doing is he's introducing himself. And he's introducing facets of his character. He says, I'm the God who provides. You know, I'm Jehovah Ra, the Lord your shepherd. That was another word. I am Jehovah Nisi, the Lord who reigns in victory or brings the banner of victory. So there was all these different names he revealed himself. And one of them was, I am the Lord your healer. That is how he revealed himself. And he said, I'm the God who heals you. I am the Lord your healer. Furthermore, if we move into the ministry of Jesus, who is the perfect expression of the Father. If we want to know what God is like, we just need to look at Jesus. Why can I say that? Because Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He said, I only do what I see my Father doing, and I only say what I hear my Father saying. And so Jesus, in essence, is perfect theology. See, there's a lot of ways that people can kind of get off into weird pictures of who God is if they don't filter through Jesus. And it's just because of a lack of understanding. Jesus is the perfect representation of the Father. Jesus is the one who represents him. And so here's what we see with Jesus. Matthew 9, 35. And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. So see, Jesus, who's the perfect representation of the Father, went around healing every disease and every sickness. Why? Because that's what God's like. That's what Jesus is like. That is in his very nature to heal. Acts 10:38, they're writing about the ministry of Jesus. They say how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And so we see once again the nature of Jesus, that he was anointed with the Holy Spirit and power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. Guys, I want you to understand today, and I'm going to say certain things this week we're going to have to unpack in coming messages, but sickness is not from God. Sickness is from the enemy. Sickness was not there in the Garden of Eden. It came after the curse of sin and death. But someone says, wait a minute, but I went through a sickness and God really did something in my life. I'm not saying that God can't use anything to work something, but I want you to know today the sickness was not from him. He's the master at taking anything the devil meant for evil and turning it for good. But we need to understand and we need to say, see, he is our Father. He is the one who loves us. And so we need to understand that sickness and disease is not God's will for us. Jesus came to heal that. God's heart is healed. It's in his very nature. Someone say, why healing? So we say, first and foremost, why healing? Because it's biblical. Number two, why healing? Because it is in the nature of God. Number three, why healing? Because it's a manifestation of the love of God. Healing is a manifestation of God's love for us. You know, again, remember, it's really important. We're going to talk through these things more and more. But Jesus is perfect theology in that he is a representation of God the Father. And so when we look at Jesus, we can see what God the Father's like. And furthermore, especially because the primary revelation in the New Testament is as God of Father, if we learn to relate to him and understand and walk in revelation of the Father, it makes so much else make sense. And part of that is understanding the Father's love. See, John 3:16 says this, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but will have eternal life." Now, I want you to see that word eternal life for a second. That word eternal life does not mean live forever. You know why? Because even before Jesus, we were going to live forever. It's just we were going to live forever in the wrong place. This has nothing to do with making us live forever. The word eternal life is the word zoe. It's the Greek word zoe. What it means is the God kind of life, the fullness of life that God intended for us to have. One of the elements of that fullness of life God intended us to have was divine health, and it was healing for sickness and disease. That's part of what he gave us. Furthermore, if we go to Romans 8:32, it says, "He who did not spare his son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things?" Guys, I want you to see, we see that Jesus was given by the Father. The Father loved you so much, he gave his only son to die for you. Why would he withhold healing? Why would he not release healing to us from his heart? It's a very demonstration of his love. Any parent in the place, you will understand this. If my child was sick, if my child was in pain, Micah or Shaw in pain, I would do everything within my power to make them feel better. Whatever I could do. I mean, it's one of the most helpless places you can feel as a parent is when your child's going through something, you can't do anything about it. And you, as a parent, you're sitting there, you'd give anything to even be able to take that on yourself, to take it off them because you love them so much. Well, guys, that's the way God our Father feels about that. There's no parent in this place that would say to your child, "Oh, you're really sick, you've got a terrible headache, well, have medicine, but you've not been behaving very well recently, so I'm not going to give you the medicine right now. I'm just going to let you suffer in this for a little while to teach you a lesson." And then, no, we wouldn't do that as parents, right? We'd be like, "No, let me get this to you as quickly as I can. Let me get this to you because I want you to be well," especially if it was serious. Especially if it was something there and you had the cure, you would not withhold the cure. In the same way, guys, God's manifestation of love, part of that is he does not want to see people in suffering, but he wants to bring healing to them. Now, I know some of you are listening, and again, I can't go down every rabbit trail in this message. You go, "Okay, well, if that's the truth, then why is there still so much sickness and things that are happening?" It's exactly like the story I told you at the start, where this man had this inheritance, but he didn't know how, or he didn't understand how to access it. So even though he was a multimillionaire, he lived as if he wasn't. And the same way, it's not that God's withholding healing, but it's us learning how to walk through faith and patience in that inheritance of it and to bring it to those who are around us. And so we see, though, there's a manifestation of the love of God. Matthew 14:14 says this, this is Jesus. And it says, "And he went ashore, and he saw a great crowd. And he had compassion on them and healed their sick." There's a whole other study that you can do where you track the compassion of Jesus to healing and miracles. What is compassion? Compassion is a deep love that moves you to action. It's a deep love that compels you to do something about it. And for Jesus, his compassion, his love was what moved him to see people healed. I want to encourage you in this. We need to grow in this revelation of the Father's love. And the more we soak in it, the more we grow in it. Even for ourselves, some of us maybe struggle to believe that it's God's will for us to be healed, or struggle to believe it's God's. Soak in the love of God, because when you truly understand God's love for you, you understand, just as that song says, you know, there's no shadow he won't light up. There's no door, wall he won't kick down. There's nothing that he's going to do, whatever is what, because it's his love for us. Healing is a manifestation of the love of God. Somebody say, why healing? So we see that healing is in the is biblical. Number two, it's part of the nature of God. Number three, it's a manifestation of the love of God. Number four, it is part of the finished work of Jesus Christ. We were just taking communion today, and we were talking about the finished work of Jesus Christ. And why healing? Because it was part of what Jesus purchased for us. It was part when Jesus went to the cross, he died, and he rose again. One of the things he purchased for us was he purchased for us our healing. John 19:30, It says when Jesus received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." Somebody say, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. That's where we get this word, the finished work of Christ. In other words, there was what Jesus came to accomplish. And he went to that cross. And then he rose again. And he accomplished everything he'd come to accomplish. And number one, first importantly, was the salvation of our souls, that we could come to know him. But it was also to release this Zoe life to anyone who'd receive it. And part of it was for us to be healed. 1 Peter 2:24 says this, "He who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree," that's when he's on the cross, "that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed." See, the Bible says, by his stripes we were healed. Now, I want you to notice the tense of that verse. It didn't say, by his stripes you will be healed. It said, by his stripes you were healed. Now, someone listening says, well, if I were healed, how come I'm not healed? I'm trying to put these two things together. How come there's still sickness? Again, remember my story at the beginning about an inheritance that's given, but we still have to learn to walk in it through faith and through patience. That man in that story was given millions of dollars. It was in an account with his name on it, but he had to learn to access it. In the same way, by his stripes, you and I were healed. That is out of Isaiah 53, verse 3, which is actually a prophetic promise about Jesus and what he's going to come to do. Now, here's what you will find if you start to dig around in this a little bit. There are people, brothers and sisters of Christ, well-intentioned, so nothing, no shade towards them on it, but there are people who will believe and will tell you, no, pastor, hold on, come on, we got to talk about this. 1 Peter 2:24, Isaiah 53, verse 3, it's not talking about natural healing, it's just talking about spiritual healing. And there's many people who wrestle with this belief. And they'll say, no, it's just spiritual. I was reading an article this morning. I was doing a little final research for my message. I got this whole article. It's just like, no, it's unbiblical. You cannot say that's physical healing. It's only spiritual healing. But here's the challenge. If we go back to the scriptures, guys, and we go to Matthew chapter 8, 14 to 17, it says, "And when Jesus entered Peter's house, he saw his mother-in-law lying sick with a fever. He touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she rose, and she began to serve him. That evening, they brought to him many who were oppressed by demons, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick." So what are we seeing here? We're seeing Jesus is doing some serious healing. I remember hearing one preacher joke, the reason Peter denied Christ was because he'd healed his mother-in-law. Now, I wouldn't say that for myself at all because I love my mother-in-law very, very much. But that's just what some people have said. But we see he healed Peter's mother-in-law. So obviously Peter had a wife because you can't have a mother-in-law without a wife. He healed her. And then we see here that he's healing people who are oppressed by demons. He's healing all who were sick. And watch, what does it say in verse 17? Watch this. "This was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. He took our illnesses and bore our diseases." And that's the same verse. It's quoting Isaiah 53, verse 3, which says, "By his stripes we were healed." In other words, by the Holy Spirit, Matthew writes about Jesus' physical healing ministry. And he says, this was to fulfill what Isaiah was talking about. In other words, good biblical interpretation, you always interpret scriptures in light of other scriptures. We cannot say it's only spiritual because the Bible says it was not just spiritual, but it's also physical. And so I say that, I want to encourage you because you might be listening to me in here or on MP3 and you really struggled with that. So I'm not here to hammer away against that, but I just ask you to look at the scriptures because Jesus came not just for spiritual healing, although I do not diminish that one bit because I am so thankful for spiritual healing. And if that's all he gave us, I would still be thankful because it means I'm with him forever. But I will not leave anything at the table that Jesus has brought out for me. And it's very clear in the scriptures that part of what he died and rose again for was for healing power to flow into our lives, into our families. If you're listening to me today and you've got a sickness or a disease they say there's no cure for, I want you to know there's still hope in Jesus. There's still hope in him because he died and he rose again so that you could be healed. By his stripes, we were healed. It is part of the finished work, and we want to receive all that he has for us. Amen? Amen. Someone say, by his stripes, I was healed. We were healed. It's part of the finished work. Somebody say, why healing? And we're going to bring this to a close. If Justin wants to come back and join me. Number one, why healing? Because it's biblical.
Number two, why healing? Because it's part of the nature of God. Number three, why healing? Because it's a manifestation of the love of God. Number four, why healing? Because it's part of the finished work of Jesus Christ. And number five, why healing? Because healing points people to faith in Jesus Christ. One of the other open doors I said and I talked to you about last week was I felt like this year and this coming decade, God wanted to open a massive door for us to reach even more people with the love of Jesus Christ. Guys, we're not a cruise ship church. We are not cruise ship Christians where this is all about our comfort and our joy. But we are rescue ship church, and we are rescue ship Christians where we're saying we're thankful that God saved us. But there's some people out there right now that still need Christ. There's people in my workplace that need Christ. There's people in my family that need Christ. There's people in my neighborhood that need Christ. You know, I came out preaching that so strong last week, and then I came to sit in my office only to hear the tragic events that happened when that helicopter went down in Los Angeles and those nine people passed away. And obviously that's something that gets more news because obviously Kobe Bryant and his daughter and others involved. But guys, there's people that are dying every single day, and we have to have a heart that says we've got to do everything we can to reach people. And so this is one of the open doors that we're called through. But we see here that healing, I want to show you in just a second, healing was meant to be a major, if I'll call it, tool in the tool belt for bringing Christ to people. It was a major part of what he called. Amy Semple McPherson, who was actually a Canadian, going to be an amazing evangelist in the Los Angeles area in the 20s and 30s, just incredible, an incredible healing ministry. She said that healing is the dinner bell of the gospel. Now, that word wouldn't make sense for a lot of us in some ways, but in those times, if you're at a camp or at a home and or mom's making dinner and everyone's out and around, she'd ring the bell. Why? Because when the bell rings, you know there's food. Right? It's something that gets your attention and draws you in to get the food that you need to have. In the same way, healing was meant to be something that gets people's attention and points them to Christ. That's what signs and wonders are all about. They're signs that make people wonder, and then they point the way to Christ. And healing was meant to be part of this gospel message. Mark 16, 15 to 17. Again, we were there before, the Great Commission. You remember several points ago I was talking about that. But let me read a little earlier. And Jesus came and he said to them, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. And then he goes on to talk about all the signs. We talked about one of them being healing. See, guys, this is a core text for our call to reach people with the good news of Jesus. This is a core text for our call to share. And healing and signs and wonders is meant to be part of that. In Romans 15, verse 19, it says, and in mighty signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem around about to Lycrum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. The Apostle Paul is saying, I fully preached the gospel of Christ once there was signs and wonders. In other words, once there was healing, once there was ministry, once there was power that was demonstrated. Now, I am not taking away in any way from the simple power of the proclamation of the gospel. But family, can I just challenge us today? What if when Jesus was talking about that, he never meant for healing to be disconnected from it? What if he never meant, which I believe is what he's saying, he never meant for healing and demonstrations of power to be disconnected from it? But he said, I want you to go, I want you to tell, but I also want you to show. In other words, this is a divine show and tell. And maybe what's happening with some people is that they've heard someone tell them, but they never had somebody show them that God is real by praying for them or by them being healed or by the power of God showing up. I believe God wants to bring us into a place where there is going to be show and there is going to be tell. We are going to continue to tell. We are going to tell more than ever before, but we are also going to show people that the love of God is real. We're going to show people that God cares about them. We're going to show people that God is more powerful than depression. God is more powerful than sickness and disease. God is more powerful than anything the enemy can throw at them. We're not just going to say it, but through prayer and boldness and faith and patience, we are together going to actually see people help to see it. Amen? And so we're going to do that. We're going to fully preach it. And last but not least, as we bring this to a close, Acts 8 verse 4 says this. Now those who were scattered went about preaching the word. This was right after a major persecution broke out in Jerusalem. It's interesting enough because we don't have to be afraid of persecution. And maybe sometimes persecution is part of what's going to spark what needs to happen. And Philip went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed to them the Christ.
Now watch this in verse 6. And the crowds with one accord paid attention to what was being said by Philip when they heard him and saw the signs that he did. For unclean spirits crying out in a loud voice came out of many who had them, and many who were paralyzed or lame were healed. So there was much joy in the city. Notice this, guys. It didn't say Philip went to Samaria and he preached Christ and that was it. No, it said he preached Christ, which again, I'm not taking away from at all. But part of the outflow of preaching Christ is Jesus Christ manifested himself with his power. And so we see that there was great healings. We see that the paralyzed and lame were healed. We see that unclean spirits, demonic bondages were broken off people's lives. And it brought great joy in the city. Again, I want to encourage you. I believe we're coming into a place. I believe the body of Christ is coming into a place where it's going to be like this in the book of Acts. Once again, the latter rain is going to be greater than the former rain, but we are going to tell. We are going to declare with boldness. We are not going to be silent. We are going to declare the word of God, but we are going to be backed up by the presence and the power of God. And there's going to be healings. There's going to be miracles. There is going to be amazing, mind-blowing things that happen. It's not just going to be a few preachers or a few leaders on the stage. Like I said at the start, this is not about the Pastor Brendan show or the Pastor Sharon show. I'm going after it, but I believe what God wants is he's saying, I'm looking for whole churches. I'm looking for whole companies of people who are going to go after it together. I'm looking for some people who are going to have some faith, but also are going to have some patience and are going to contend for this. And we are going to see the gospel go to so many people. We're going to see the love of God touch so many people. Why? Because we're telling, but we are also showing in Jesus' name. And everyone agreed with me said, amen. Somebody say, why healing? Because there's people that need Jesus. And here's my thought. Why not just go after everything we can get to help reach people? Why limit ourselves to one thing? I remember this story. I'll close with this. I've told this several times, so a bunch of you have heard it. But it's just an example that makes sense. There's a man many years ago. I think this is more anecdotal, but he was... you know, it's kind of when chainsaws were new. So he's a chainsaw salesman. So he thought, I'm going to go out and I'm going to find some people and sell some chainsaws. So he went way into the backwoods and he found an old lumberjack. And he started selling him on this chainsaw. Started telling him how much wood he was going to cut, how much easier it was going to make his life, how much better it was going to be. And the guy was really incredulous. He just didn't believe him. He was quite happy with his axes and his saws. He said, no, man, you don't know how much more you're going to be able to do when you have this chainsaw. He said, okay, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to leave it with you for a week. He said, well, I'm going to go. I'm going to come back. I'll leave you one. And if you are not seeing so much more wood cut, so much more happen, you just give it back. So I said, okay, I'll take you up on that. I'll take it. So the salesman went away. Went back a week later. He was so excited. He figured, man, there's just no way this is going to go wrong. I'm going to close the sale. He walks up. The guy looks at him, gets a look at disgust in his face, throws the chainsaw in his direction, says, what? This, you totally wasted a week. This didn't make me better. It made me even worse. Salesman thought, what happened? What do you mean? So he kind of looks and picks up the chainsaw and goes, okay, no, it's sharp. You know, I almost cuts himself. He's like, he looks back. He's like, I don't understand. He's like, okay, well, maybe it just doesn't run well. So he pumps it up, you know, does whatever he does. I really don't work with chainsaws, but you know what I'm saying? And boom, and the thing comes to life. The guy jumps back. He goes, what is that? And the salesman realized in that moment he was trying to use the chainsaw like an axe, and that's why it wasn't working well. He never knew to turn it on. In other words, there was no power. What if our sharing with people, what if what God's called us to, we just need to turn on the power? What if turning on the power was the way God always meant for it to work, and we've been creating all this extra work for ourselves because we're trying to do it without the power of God? How many people would join me in saying, God, teach us? You know, I said, Jesus, teach us how to pray. How many people would join me and say, God, teach us how to walk in the power and to walk in the healing that Jesus had for us so that we can reach people, so we can show the love of God to people, so we can be people freed from bondage? How many people would join me in praying that kind of prayer? Amen? All right, if that's you, let's bring this to a close. I want you to...